science, learning, business, community, you. Welcome to Think Works, the podcast for people who like to think. Because thinking is the hardest work there is. Come with us on a journey into the world of ideas with your host, Darren Smithson.
Hello and welcome to episode 3 of ThinkWorks. I'm your host, Darren Smithson, and this is where we do all the hard thinking. Today's episode is the future of work in the age of automation. Now, last week we talked about AI and its increasing role in both our business and our personal lives. And this week, what we're going to dive into is the way that automation is continuing to advance at an unprecedented rate. It's not just about mechanical automation anymore. It's about intelligence automation. And as that technology continues to advance, it's crucial that we learn to understand how it will shape the job market and also workforce dynamics. So, as automation takes over certain tasks, it's important to recognize that it also creates new opportunities. Jobs that require creativity, critical thinking, emotional intelligence, complex problem solving are likely to become much more valuable. And we'll look at how individuals can adapt and upskill to thrive in this changing landscape. For example, the self-development field that I talked about last week with the whole GG personal assistant that I have that sets out my path for self-education, but not only that, helps me explore that path and go down all the leafy suburbs that I want to go down to explore different aspects of what I'm learning. Now, I'm very careful here to use the word learning and not education, because education, unfortunately, especially in the UK, and I suspect rather across most of the Western world, has an unfortunate connotation. It hasn't become about learning. It's become about being controlled, if that makes sense. But that is a topic for a whole other ThinkWorks. Don't worry, it's coming. But we'll get back to what we were talking about. So automation is everywhere around us. From the moment we wake up, we're interacting with automated systems, alarm clocks, coffee makers, thermostats, all automated to make our lives easier and more efficient. Now, let's start and look at what that means. If we go back to the 1950s, we'll have a look at the past first. So in the 1950s, the post-war era really was a time of optimism and a real belief in the power of technology. Everything was going to be atomic. People of a certain age will probably remember that, but if you look at the old pulp science fiction comics and literature of the time, everything was going to be atomic. We were going to have atomic flying cars. We were going to have atomic rockets that would take us to the stars and beyond. And all this led into the belief that automation would actually free up time and give us increased leisure time. Can you remember all those pictures where all the robots were doing the work and humans were having picnics in parks and just exploring? It's just a reality that sadly never materialized. The idea was good, that the machines would do the heavy lifting and humans would reap the benefits, but corporations very quickly displaced the humans that automation and machines replaced. They actually took those humans and put them into other monotonous work that the machines still couldn't do. There was no real pause for breath to actually allow humanity to actually realize that productivity is not the answer. Contribution is. Now, again, that is a whole new topic, and we'll talk about that in the future ThinkWorks. Yes, that one's coming as well. If automation hasn't given us that leisure time, where has it gone? Well, the answer is very complex. On the one hand, automation has certainly freed up people from many mundane and repetitive tasks, but on the other hand, it's created new demands on our time. So let's fast forward to today, and the reality is definitely not what we envisioned back in the 50s. Yes, automation has brought many benefits. It's made our lives easier, definitely, in many respects. But it's also blurred the lines between work and home life. With technology at our fingertips, we're always connected, always available, and it's harder than ever to switch off. And basically, many unscrupulous managers and many unscrupulous businesses have blurred that distinction between work and home life. So they will send you an email at 11:30 at night as you're getting into bed, and they will expect an answer. It's a diabolical implementation of a technology that should be designed to make our lives better. It's not. It's just making it so that corporations can get more productivity out of their staff for a lot less money. We're not definitely not getting paid for the amount of time that we put into work these days. Now, if we're always connected and always available, it's harder than ever to switch off. And I just can't believe it when I hear politicians especially and corporation bosses on TV, they start saying, oh yeah, our workforce, they're so unproductive, they're so lazy, they are bringing in their health problems and all this kind of stuff. And they can't see the direct correlation between the blurring of work-home life and the increase in people being ill, being unproductive, moaning more, because we're not having time to rest and properly recuperate our brains. Even at weekends, we're expected to answer emails these days or take phone calls. It's become a real problem that our leaders need to wake up and smell the coffee about, because constantly, it's the analogy of the workman with the saw. If you don't know the story, it's basically a workman, he's in a forest, he's got a job of cutting down 40 trees in a week. And the first day he cuts down 10, the second day he cuts down 9. Third day he's sweating really hard, he's working really, really hard, but he's down to 5 trees a day. And someone's walking by and he says, what are you doing? He says, I've got to cut down 40 trees by the end of the week and I've just got to get it done. And the passerby says, well, why don't you just stop and sharpen your saw? And the guy turns around and he looks at the passerby and he says, I haven't got time to sharpen my saw. Get it? If it had sharpened his saw, he could have done another 10 in that day. It's just the whole way that, and unfortunately, our businesses and our politicians are behaving like the woodman. They're not actually looking at the fact that humans are tools just like everything else, and we need to be sharpened. Constantly pushing us into that coal face is only dulling our edge, and it's creating a real backlash where people actually start to feel that they're not valued, that they are definitely just commodities, that there is no loyalty from the management, and therefore why should they be loyal back? It's that whole process that gets tied into that. It's not all doom and gloom. I mean, with every job that is lost to automation, new ones are or could be created. It's just got to have that will behind it by our governments and our businesses to create that infrastructure that allows us to move into or develop the skills needed for those new jobs. We're at a crossroads now, because while it's true that machine automation has taken away a lot of those repetitive tasks, mundane manual tasks, like Bob puts on a nut, John tightens the nut, Marie passes it to the next conveyor belt, and so on. That's all gone. That's great. But the problem is that the automation coming now with AI is starting to replace the jobs that we used to replace the automation jobs. So we have got a case now where thinking on a lot of complex issues and project management and everything else is being handed over to AIs. Design is being handed over to AIs and so on. So we now need to look at, well, okay, so we've moved from being all these manual jobs into thinking jobs and service jobs, but AI is now replacing a lot of those roles within those industries as well. So where do we go from here? On a more positive note, however, the automation has taken on a lot of forms that are beneficial. For example, automated email responses, complex manufacturing processes, and businesses relying on the AI automation to reduce errors and save time. That's all to the good, but we've got to stop looking at this automation process as a barrier between the end user, the customer, the client, and the people that work in the business. Telephone systems run by AI have been designed to be a barrier. Companies can argue as much as they want. I don't think yet I've come across a telephone automation system that actually is designed to do what it says on the tin, which is to be of aid to the caller and actually help them with their query and put them through to the right department quicker. It's just a fallacy. And what's really annoying is we know it's not designed to do that. They know we know it's not designed to do that, but they still try to tell us that it is. So let's talk about that human element then. Automation can definitely improve processes and increase efficiency if it's done right, but it's essential to remember the importance of humans in this whole scenario. Human skills such as empathy, collaboration, and adaptability must continue to become highly valued commodities, but we also got to make sure that we are given the tools and the time to actually develop those skills. It's no good saying, well, you've been made redundant today and therefore next week you've got to be a common brain surgeon. It's just not going to happen. So we've got to try and factor in, governments in particular have got to try and factor in a lifelong learning element that enables people to develop these skills. What will be interesting is how these skills, human skills of empathy and collaboration, can be used to complement the technological advancement. So working in conjunction with AI, working and improving AI as they improve efficiencies, but also customer service. So the key to thriving in this new world, therefore, I think, is adaptability. The ability to learn new skills, be flexible, be open to change. Change, we fear. Humans naturally fear change, but change can be a good thing if it's managed properly. And that is something that will be a subject of another ThinkWorks later in the future. One of the principles that I talk about in my book is called the Unexpected Guest Principle. I'm going to do a whole piece on that. And there's a couple of connected principles that feed into that as well. But going back to what I was saying about adaptability, it's about having a growth mindset and seeing challenges as opportunities. Now, people will say that, won't they? They'll say, it's not a challenge, it's an opportunity. But none of them believe it. We've got to switch that switch in our brains that say, actually, there is something here that if we can manage it properly, if we can manage that displacement of people into a lifelong learning and development area where they can develop new skills that can complement the technology that's being used, then that has got to be to the betterment of everything. Business, society, individuals, health, mental health in particular. And we can actually then really start to reap benefits for everyone about this increased use of automation. We must be willing, therefore, to step out of our comfort zone, because we do fear change. We've just got to stop looking at it as something to fear and look at it from the point of view of, okay, so this change is coming. I'm just going to step to the side, have a look at it from all angles and see what benefit could be in it for me. What other skills are needed to thrive in a technology-driven work environment? It's not just technical skills. That, unfortunately, is what governments seem to be focusing on. It's not. It's things like creativity. It's the soft skills like creativity, critical thinking, problem solving, emotional intelligence. These are skills that machines right now cannot replicate. In the future, will AI be able to do some of these? Possibly. But I think humans need to just always try to be one step ahead and put in place these self-learning and self-development schemes funded by governments and by the businesses themselves to get the best workforce possible with the best skills that are needed for a modern world. At the moment, we're not doing that. We're just expecting people to just, you know, step into new roles without really giving them time to pause, catch a breath and think, well, last week I was doing product design, I've been replaced on that, and now I'm expected to be a customer service individual. It's not going to work. They're two different mindsets. So there's lots of things to think about there. So this really ties back into this importance of lifelong learning. In a world where technology is constantly evolving, we need to be constantly learning and upskilling our skills. It's not enough to just learn a skill and then rest on our laurels. We need to be lifelong learners. So today, automation is everywhere, from manufacturing to customer service, from logistics to healthcare. Machines and algorithms are performing tasks that were once done by us, by humans, and this trend is only going to accelerate as advancements in robotics and artificial intelligence double every couple of years, and they will double. Where we will be in 10 years' time with artificial intelligence and robotic capability is far in advance of where we are today. So let's consider a real-life example, and we'll go back to the 50s again, and that idea of that assembly line. Car assembly lines in particular would have been manned by hundreds of workers. Now, these automation lines today are largely run by machines and artificial intelligence. They can perform tasks with speed and precision humans couldn't match. It's increased productivity, lowered costs, but it displaced a lot of jobs. But it's not just in manufacturing. Think about the way that we shop. So from the 50s, before the 50s, right up to recent times, if you wanted to go and get something, you would go to a store, browse the shelf, interact with a salesperson, walk on with your shopping. We don't do that now. We can order just about anything, and I mean anything, with just a few clicks and have it delivered right to your doorstep. The pandemic, which forced people to actually do everything from home, has really speeded up that process of putting everything online. So it's all made possible. So while we've been berating automation, this is a benefit for us as consumers, and it's all made possible by the algorithms that recommend products, to the automated warehouses that process orders, to the systems that then automate the delivery of that product to your doorstep. And we're even talking about using drones soon, which will deliver products so that vans and lorries aren't carting things around and polluting the atmosphere. So these are real benefits that automation is providing to us as a consumer, but it's causing a great job displacement in behind the scenes work that used to be there to getting a product to you or for you to go and get a product from a shop. So it's important that as we become more reliant on automation, we need to think about the strategies that we need to develop that take advantage of them that also benefit us as individuals and as communities. So here's a few key strategies to consider. First, embrace lifelong learning. Now, we've talked about this earlier in this podcast about how we need to use lifelong learning and self-development to continually adapt to the changes that are coming, because they're coming faster and faster. And it's only through enjoying learning, and this is where we need to change our whole education system. We need to put in place processes that enable adults in particular to relearn, to reskill, to retool, and to look at learning now as something to be enjoyed rather than the kind of bad impression that most of us have got about the education system. We have to take charge ourselves, but we need to have the framework around us that enables us to do that. It's crucial that we stay up to date with these latest advancements and understand how they can be applied in our field. It's no good just saying we're going to displace all these people because we're going to put this automation in place, and then these people will go on and do higher paid jobs. As I said before, it's no good saying, oh, I'm a checkout person today, tomorrow I've lost my job, the day after I'm a brain surgeon. It doesn't work like that. It will never work like that, and people need to understand that. Sadly, at the moment, our governments don't appear to have really cottoned on to the fact that it's just not possible for a lot of people to just to relearn and reskill in the kind of environment, the learning environment that we've got set up in societies today. Second, we need to focus on soft skills. Now, while it's true that automation can handle many tasks, it can't replicate yet human creativity. It can't replicate critical thinking. It definitely cannot replicate emotional intelligence, not yet. So we've got a window of opportunity, shall we say. And these skills will continue to be in high demand, even in an automated world. So this is an area that we can all focus on. But once again, we need to have a learning framework in place that enables people to do this. Third, we shouldn't be afraid to experiment. The best way to understand automation is to use it. Try out new tools and technologies. See what works and what doesn't. Learn from your experiences. And then you can go to your bosses in your company, or as a boss, you can go to your technical people and say, hey, there's this great new technology. I've been looking at it. It does this. I think we should implement it. What do you think? And then help them develop that. Lastly, remember that automation is a tool and it's not a replacement for humans. It should be there to assist us, not to make us obsolete. So businesses and corporations and governments need to wake up, as individuals do, that automation should be used to enhance our opportunities and capabilities. It's not to replace them. As much as sadly, the focus is on the corporate bottom line through automation, we have to consider the human element. Now, we as humans and individuals have to take some responsibility for ourselves, but businesses and corporations and governments need to work together to create a framework with education establishments to create an environment where lifelong learning is the norm, where people love to learn new skills. They love to learn new ideas. They love to discourse with other people about new concepts. This is what ThinkWorks is about. I'm trying to open those minds across the board, all walks of life, all fields, government, business, community groups, it doesn't matter. We need to be coming out of our silos, working together, and actually create an environment that enables people to continually adapt to the challenges that are coming on stream, as well as the opportunities from automation. And remember, automation per se should not be feared. It's got to be seen as something that should be embraced. It's not about humans versus machines, although every book and every film and every TV series and the way it's being implemented currently by many corporations would appear to reinforce that idea. It's not. It's about machines and humans working together, each doing what they do best. It should be seen as a complementary technology and one that enables humanity to continue to grow beyond the kind of levels of intelligence and just emotional depravity, just the whole process of what we have where we're fighting to survive, dog eat dog. We need to be doing away with these concepts and actually looking at a more collegiate environment between all these different organizations and individuals so that we come out of silos and we start to work together. Let's embrace this future of automation. Let's seize it an opportunity to grow and learn and to create and use it to build a better, more efficient and more productive world where we're allowed to actually focus on contribution instead of this P word that is the blight of modern society. So that wraps up the exploration of the future of work in an age of automation. We hope this episode has provided valuable insights into both the changing nature of jobs and importantly, the skills and the type of framework needed to develop the skills that are needed to thrive in the evolving workplace. So join us next time as we delve into a related topic, which is the ethical implications of emerging technology. But until then, keep thinking, keep looking at ways that you can self-learn and self-develop and self-improve. Don't wait for others to come and do it, because the governments and corporations at the moment, they're too immature, basically. So we as individuals have to be the ones that actually dictate the rate of change now. We have to let our voice be heard. We have to demand these facilities and frameworks and strategies that enable us to actually take advantage of the displacement of jobs through automation or roles through automation and actually work out how best we can work in conjunction with these emerging technologies. Thanks for joining me. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I will see you next week.
If you would like to find out more, or join in with the conversation, our forum has a corresponding post for you to comment in. Simply go to darreninform.com/thinkworksforum and join in the fun. Or you can join the Facebook page by searching for @DarrenInform for news, tips and other helpful strategies. The show was hosted by Darren Smithson, and the music is by Alexander Nakarada. You have been listening to ThinkWorks, the podcast for thinkers.